This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
This is Josh Lazar, founder and CEO of Tech Think Tank, and I'm here today with Mitch Stein, the Director of Information Technology from the Community Legal Services of Mid-Florida. Today, we're going to be talking about Microsoft Teams and the impact of litigation. Mitch, could you describe your experience with Microsoft Teams?
Well, we're using Microsoft Teams internally within our IT department. We're using this to understand the features better, to understand the limitations, and to quantify the benefits that we would provide to other staff when we roll this out on a larger scale. We have had it put in front of some users and understand that it's going to take some training and knowledge transfer to get better user adoption long term. But it's been a very productive tool for us within.
So you're saying technologically it's all set up and working well, but within user adoption there might be some issues there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's to educate staff and what the benefits are and why they should be using Teams instead of other products or collections of products.
So how can a IT professional set up Teams appropriately to minimize the impact of litigation?
You've got to understand where what Teams is, where the data is stored, and that going to give an IT admin an understanding of how that data is affected by compliance policies. In short, Teams is not a product in itself, but it's a front end that aggregates data from other Microsoft Office 365 services that already exist. You can't put a retention policy on an entire team and have it cover everything in the team. You've got to put in retention policies that apply to each component of Teams.
Can you explain that a little more in depth, like how, say, the chats within Teams are stored, or maybe the team chats are stored?
Absolutely. There's two types of chats within Teams. There's a one-to-one chat, which is between two members of that team, and that data is stored in the user's mailboxes itself. It doesn't exist anywhere else within the team. So by default, that's going to follow the retention policy of the user's mailbox. And if the retention policy is perpetual, then the data remain perpetually. There's also group conversations within Teams. And the group conversation follows the retention policy of the mailbox of the group. When a team is created, there's an Office 365 group that's created, and that mailbox that's created along with the group is the mailbox that stores the team conversations as well as email.
Could you talk about the reporting capabilities of Teams?
Sure. Reporting capabilities of Teams, they follow the retention policies and auditing policies that are set on the Office 365 tenant. Teams consists of data that's stored in users' mailboxes, the group mailbox, which stores the group chats, emails, calendar. Files are stored depending on where those files are shared with Teams. So, for instance, files shared in a one-to-one chat are going to be stored in the user's OneDrive. Files stored in the team are stored in a document library in the SharePoint site. Each channel would have its own document library. So those items follow where auditing is set on the tenant, and any reporting through Teams would follow that. So if there was a search on a specific user, that it would find the content that applies entirely to that user, or you could narrow it down and just find the Teams data that was created by that user. So the reporting is very extensive. It follows along the Microsoft Reporting and Compliance Center that exists already, and reporting should be similar to any other Microsoft service within Office 365.
With the knowledge that Teams has pieces in different areas of Office 365. How could an IT professional create a legal hold, quote unquote, in Teams?
Okay, understanding that Teams is not its own entity, you cannot put a legal hold on a team per se. The legal hold is put on the user itself, and then any data that's created by that user will be held. That would include the user's mailbox, their OneDrive. That's what would be held there, as well as any SharePoint content created by that user.
Now, you, as we were talking before this, telling me that Teams is tier D compliant. Can you kind of talk a little bit more about that, or at least inform the listeners of what that means?
Tier D compliance is one of the highest levels of compliance. That it's along with other Office 365 products. It includes the following standards. I'll read them off quickly, and in the towards the end, I will also share some links describing this in more detail. But it's ISO 27001, ISO 27018, SOC compliance, HIPAA, and EUMC. And these compliances are probably the highest level. And in addition, Microsoft, I think Josh, you mentioned actually that there are some other government compliances that have come up recently that Teams is fits the requirements as well.
Yeah, actually, I can talk to that for just a moment, just in case any of the listeners are part of a governmental organization or a quasi-governmental organization. Not too many ILTA members are, but there are corporations that have the ability to get GCC or Office 365 GCC High, which has a completely different level of compliance. And Teams just made it through GCC compliance over the last couple of months. So even if you are at a governmental level organization, you are now able to use Teams, which wasn't available before 2019. So if the listeners want to get access to more information about Teams compliance, where would they go?
Well, we've shared some links along there. One, I've shared the official Microsoft documentation on compliance, and also a great article from RecordPoint, which covers compliance in detail, as well as where you'll find a lot of the Teams data.
So are there any final thoughts on Teams as it relates to compliance issues, or what would you most want to have the listeners understand about Teams in relationship to compliance?
I think the biggest thing we have to understand is Teams is not a standalone product. It's part of the Office 365 system. It aggregates existing services, and the compliance that exists within those services is filtered through Teams. And in addition, there are ways to do an e-discovery search, which can narrow down just Teams data. So it adds a little more classification within the data if you just want to search within Teams itself. Again, if you're comfortable with using other Office 365 services, then the data in Teams is not treated any differently.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to thank you very much for your time today, Mitch. This concludes our conversation about Microsoft Teams and the impact of litigation. For more information on the corporate area of legal tech, or for more podcasts or content like this, please visit iltanet.org. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and thank you for your time listening to this podcast.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.